The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hola, welcome to the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club with your host, the man from the land of Lincoln Heights, that is, David Hernandez, and from the city of San Fernando, Jeffy Gergenti. You heard it right, Hispanic Republicans. Why? Because brown is the new red, Republican red. So listen up and hear what being a Republican is really all about. Faith, family, and free enterprise. It's time to wake up and see how the chorizo is made and smell the menudo. And who knows, you just may be a Republican after all.
Well, good evening, Jeffy.
Well, good evening, David. We are back for another roaring Saturday night at the AM 870 studios with CNN Metals as our sponsor. And how was your week?
It was great. You know, it was dry. It was wet a couple of days, but it's dry, a little brisk, but that's kind of nice.
I actually don't mind the brisk until I got my gas bill for $336 for 30 days. It's normally like 100. And I keep my house at 66 degrees, so it's not
that's
like...
That's what you get. I mean,
it's not like I've got the heat going and I'm, you know... And I don't get it. I'm one person.
And that's for a month, right?
That's one day, 30 days.
30 days. Yeah, because...
I got a client that got a $3,100 gas bill for the month.
Wow.
And she calls them up. She goes, what's the deal? They go, well, we're estimating it.
We're estimating it
based on what?
Yeah.
I don't live in the Arctic.
They're heating your 400%. Pool. They're,
no.
Oh, no, not,
no,
not even
no,
a heated
no.
pool.
She did not heat
no
her
sauna.
Pool. Nope.
That's,
nope. She's got a big house, but she's got it in sections. And so she only heats... Like the bedroom, when she's in the bedroom, or she heats her
right.
kitchen.
So that doesn't seem
accurate. They have to come out, and now they've got to actually read her meter. They've been estimating her gas bill for, I guess, quite a long time. I'm like, so this is my thing. This is what I need to tell people. You brought it up last week. Go call the gas company and find out why it is so high. And don't let them get away with, oh, we don't have enough gas. There's a shortage of gas. BS, we're paying for... the gas leak they had in...
under your house?
No, in Knollwood.
Yeah.
No, remember that huge gas leak they had in Granada Hills 5 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
They're currently settling it right now. How amazing that our gas bills have tripled and quadrupled.
Well, there was those rough winter storms.
Yep. And that voice that you're hearing is our first guest. That's Angela.
Hi,
Angela.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you guys for having me. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no. That's why you're here.
I didn't even have an introduction, and I'm just talking.
Hey, man. It's radio. Live radio. Jump right in.
She who needs no introduction. I guess we first saw you when your video went viral when politicians shut down your business and opened up a movie shoot right in the same parking lot.
Yeah.
Pineapple Hill.
Pineapple Hill Grill and Saloon in Sherman Oaks, and that was, pretty rough day.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that.
Was that 2 years ago or three?
Well, it was in 2020.
It's almost three.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It's amazing how fast we went from COVID to we're still dealing with COVID, but it's not really COVID.
Mm-hmm. The weirdest thing is, and I talk to a lot of small businesses because that's like my thing, and I'm very passionate about that. And every one of them that I talk to will say that 2021 was harder than 2020 and that it felt as though they were starting a new business from scratch and having to rebuild.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And some of them who closed and had to start a different business altogether or people that moved out of state.
If they could. I actually have a one of the big things that's very upsetting to me is that California, Governor Gavin Newsom, you know, he had a small business and that's why he, you know, got
his winery.
Right. So they gave nothing to help the businesses in California. And so we still are seeing businesses go out of business. And I've been, you know, kind of warning about this all year long since last year that we're going to have an avalanche of businesses go out of business. Mm-hmm. And that's because they're all still carrying back rent.
Back rent, right.
And the landlords are not forgiving them. One person I went and actually took my iPhone and just talked to him as he was closing up mm-hmm. his shop in he had a gym, Pulse Fitness, been there 16 years. He owed $160,000, $50,000 in back rent. The landlord basically was giving him an eviction notice. He tried for the SBA. He got zero help. He tried for the loan, and the loan was only for $80,000. And he said, I just can't do this anymore because I can barely pay current rent,
right.
let alone back rent.
Back rent.
And that is the avalanche.
And then you have to pay the loan payment.
Right. And that's the avalanche of small business issues, one mm-hmm. of many, that's going to hit us this year.
Well, the thing is, I see, as a business owner, I see the side of the landlord and the side of the business owner having been a tenant and what have you. And, you know, when you look at Ventura Boulevard, the majority of those buildings on Ventura Boulevard, just like Melrose and a lot of our big retail boulevards, those are old buildings, mm-hmm. old tenants. They've been sold from one, or they've been inherited from one family to another or however they are, and that's a livelihood for them. So the landlords took a hit when they closed the gyms and the salons and the restaurants because they weren't getting rent. The businesses weren't able to pay, but the businesses were still on the hook to pay the rent, and all the tenants that live in apartments are getting help, and they just extended it in LA. The LA Council, 12-0, yeah. has extended that rent moratorium for another, I think, year.
Yeah.
And so the landlords that own those properties are still getting their butts handed to them. But you saw the landlords on Ventura Boulevard, and I look at this and I go, landlords should get paid. But I also think that when you shut down the country like you did, and you've got Gavin Newsom who's still pushing that emergency, I think Gavin Newsom needs to be doing something with that excess of billions.
Don't even get me started, because the fact of the matter is we have Gavin Newsom, and now we have a president. President that wants to pay kids for their student loans that they took out, but yet they have not reimbursed the businesses that they forced to close, that they all took their own money and started their own business, mm-hmm. and now they're hundreds of thousands behind. The state of California didn't even give more than $35,000.
You know, I'm sorry. At some point, and I'll play the devil's advocate,
right.
all of these businesses had an opportunity to support candidates to turn this state around.
I know.
And not many did. You're an exception.
I know.
you're the only exception I know.
Yeah.
And so all,
I took a big hit
so,
for that.
So all up and down the state of California, all these businesses, all these, you know, these corporations that are complaining, and they're complaining for good reason, but they also had an opportunity. And instead what they did was, well, we don't want to upset those that are in an office because we don't want it to make it worse, and so we won't invest in Jeffy's campaign,
right?
Because maybe Lindsay or Bob or Henry.
You know, it's beyond that.
Wait, wait, wait.
Because you were, Angela, your business, Pineapple Hill Grill, was the only one that actually supported candidate events. And that's why I say you supported it
and
you took a big hit for
it. I wish I could have done more.
But you did. But the fact you even opened your restaurant, do you know how many restaurants David and I went to do events for my campaign? And they all said, oh, I'm sorry, you just can't do that because you're
Republican.
Yeah, that's outrageous to me. I will say that.
And we were willing to pay.
This is what is, like, I get very emotional about all this stuff because I have taken a huge hit for speaking out and for mm-hmm. speaking against. And for me, it's always been not about politics. It's about people. And if you're in if you look at the party that rules this state and you look at the damage that's been done, it's like I told everybody, if it was Republican that had done this, I would have been doing the same thing.
Right.
Like, it, common sense and survival instincts, you think, would kick in. Well, and I will say, though, I want to play a little devil's advocate of the small businesses. We have always remained neutral, and we've always been, you know, even in a bar, you know, no mm-hmm. sex, religion, politics, because the second
what?
You start picking
a side. In a bar, no sex in a bar? What
know,
are you talking about?
No, discussions, talk. Okay. No, but what I'm saying is that as a small business, you're barely getting by with the way California is strangling you.
Right.
And now you pick a side, and then you're going to lose 30%, half, maybe mm-hmm. be hounded. Like even with the homeless issue.
Right.
You know, and I we'll have a business owner yeah. that spoke out about that in a non-political way and then was homeless shamed. You know, another business owner that spoke out about it, she actually had Christians saying, well, you're getting what you deserve because you're gay.
Like, yeah, I mean,
it's the target
win.
That you get. You can't win, which is mm-hmm. why small businesses are afraid to choose a side. But what I realized through the pandemic is I'm not going to be here anyway. So if I'm going to be here, I need to be a leader and I need to care. And I need to risk everything because I'm not going to be here anyway if change doesn't happen. It's right. not going to work anyway because yeah. it's so broken.
Well, look at Tinhorn Flats in Burbank and what yeah. the – what did they – first they
– First they shut their doors. Yeah, then they the door. Chained their – locked their doors. Then yep. they arrested people. Then they put a huge fence that was like made for Rocketdyne around it so yeah. nobody could get in it or cut it. I mean, they just went crazy on it. For what? Because they didn't believe they should have to close?
No, listen, you're right. But they have a case that's coming up that you guys should follow. Mm. And I'm excited because actually I think they may make a change for the small businesses in this area if
and
we ever hit a COVID
one,
area.
And they're another one that took a huge risk because they took a
they
stand.
They lost everything.
Said, yeah, they
lost everything.
And they had rallies out in front. Yep. I think Dennis Prager attended one of the rallies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but they also ended up with a tremendous amount of debt in the fact that they were closed and they still were responsible to
and
pay.
And they lost damage, their place.
Plus damages to the building. That they had to pay, I understand. They were a mess. But, you know, let's talk about why you really got here, which was something I ran on,
their lawsuit,
is
though. Yes, their lawsuit, so though, we'll you guys. That. That's a big deal. Yeah. Because
so we'll have to bring you back on
it
that
actually
one.
Got accepted. And so we'll see if they win. And it got accepted on their First Amendment right to protest. And their former protest was staying open.
In the Supreme Court of California? Or is it still in the – is it still in –
I don't know all the
court.
Details. I know that it starts in January and that it's against the city council of Burbank.
Oh, in Burbank.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it'll go Burbank and then it'll go Supreme Court when they don't.
Yeah. Those so, Angela, people. You've been also all over the news. People have been saying, turn on Channel 4, turn on this and that. Yeah. There you
another
are.
Another dead person in Sherman Oaks in
and
front of
it's like,
and I'm just it's like, great, I get all bits.
You get all this, you know. It's but, you know, and it's something because – I mean, we've known, you know, with we're over 40,000, maybe 60,000 homeless in L.A. County.
66,000 in 2021. There were 66,000.
Well, I actually got exact stats.
Okay. No, those are not exact stats.
Well,
those are the
exact,
ones that they want you to know.
No. This is coming from Andy at the Union Mission. I was like,
Andy Bales?
Yes, Andy Bales.
Did he count them all?
He said, we raised over $1.2 billion, promised to build 10,000 units over 6 years ago, and less than 2,000 units have been built. We have 50,000 living on the streets in L.A. County, and more than five people are dying a day of complications of homeless per day. We have more deaths by hyperthermia than New York City and San Francisco combined.
Yep.
And look how cold it was tonight.
Yep.
It's been 36 degrees.
Yeah. He said 40 degrees and rain in L.A. and people die of hyperthermia. Mm-hmm. We had three homeless people die off of Van Nuys Boulevard within my area in the last week.
Yeah, and that's when people say, you know, five a day in the city of Los Angeles. Well, Los Angeles is pretty big. But when you have three in 1 week right there, this is over there by what, In-N-Out Burger?
Yeah, Ventura Boulevard and Van Nuys. Mm-hmm. The first gentleman was a 60-year-old man that was found sadly deceased or near Ventura and Van Nuys, near the bank there.
I know where that is.
Yep. And then the other one, I don't have all the details on. I just know it was near Van Nuys and Sherman Way. And then obviously the woman that passed away in front of my shopping center was probably, it's hard to guess because when you're on the street, you look a little more rough, but I would say in her 40s. And her name was Elizabeth, and she used to walk around the parking lot like she was holding a phone, but she wasn't talking. Mm-hmm. And she passed away Wednesday morning. Yep. And it's just like
– the problem is here's the thing. When you're a business owner and you have homeless people around you, you get to know them because you see them all the time. They tend to kind of stay where they are around all the time. And – you know, it's like you don't want them to be homeless. You want to help them, but you still have compassion for them. You see them all the time. You get to know them, and you ask them not to come around your business at certain times. They usually will abide by that. So when you do find them deceased, it's really hard. Yeah. It's a human life that didn't have to end based on the fact that we've put too much money and media time and everything else into it, yet we these people shouldn't be dying for this.
Yeah, and I think that, again, the most upsetting thing to me is like, as a business owner, I wish it was as easy as we ask them not to come around. They don't. Because right. we're dealing, it's hardcore right now. This is like, I have encounters with the mentally ill and with the drug addicted, homeless, out of their mind, 2 to 3 times a day. And that's no exaggeration. I have staff that have been attacked. I've been attacked. Staffs that have been threatened with a hammer by MS-13 gang members. I have a local drug dealer in an RV. There's 6 RVs on the block. So when we go, like in August, several of us business owners got together. We started showing pictures and showing videos and sending them to Nithya Rama's office and saying, Nithya, we need help here.
Tell people who Nithya is, because not everybody
knows. Nithya Raman is the councilwoman in our area, and she has a lot of different views, okay? And she is a Democrat, if we want to be political, but again...
We want to be political because her seat is up for re-election in 2024. Yeah.
Well, she should never, ever be re-elected again, because I'm going to explain to you... I was just on Nextdoor app before I came in, and somebody put up the news thing, and I was listening to the different comments, and I guess I get emotional because people think the business owners don't care. We actually care about the homeless. I have a schizophrenic aunt and uncle that I grew up with in Indiana, and they've had a very successful life because Indiana has a very good system at handling the mentally ill and the drug addicted. I have a brother who was on heroin and lost everything, who got clean. And 10 years clean and now has 2 sober living homes in
Indiana. To help others.
To help others. So we care. But we also have to care about our customers and their safety and their well-being. And also, we just got out of a pandemic. How about the health, mm-hmm. where we have food products, we have, and then we have our employees we have to care about. But these are human beings on the street. And the reason why I did what I did is because it's ironic. Martin Luther King Day was on Monday. And one of his great things is, you have to shine light on the darkness. And I was so heartbroken. And I had already gotten another business owner 4 days previous. A friend of mine had driven by the first gentleman and sent pictures to us business owners. And like, look, this is what my daughter and I have to drive by. And it's and they don't give you any information on it. It doesn't go in the news. It's not like they print their name and their picture and go, Elizabeth died today at the on the sidewalk.
And if she had been famous, we would have all known about it.
Oh, we would have all. We actually have given more attention to the mountain lion, which I did cry. P22.
Who was old and on the way out anyway, and I'm not being and I'm not being golden cows about it. But
all
you're
right, PETA. Calm down, PETA.
I cried. I love that.
We have Lindsay Horvath, who actually shut down a meeting and said, we need to take the day because P22 died.
Yeah.
And I was like, why don't you take a day and close a meeting and let's talk about and read all the names of the homeless people that died on the streets just in this year alone.
It's appalling. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
And people walk by with their coffee like nothing's going on and people drive by like nothing's going on.
And that's the problem is we've become very callous to it because we see it every day. It's become so frequent that now you just have gotten used to it, and that's the problem. And you know what? I'm sorry, but I ran for office, and I ran for the homelessness.
You did, and you would have been very good at it.
And thank you. And I had solutions for the homeless. My mother was homeless and trafficked, and you know what? I got a lot of votes, and I'm grateful for the ones I got, but you know what? We've got someone who's now sitting in that seat who's going to be there for the next 12 years, and let me tell you, it's only going to get worse.
Well, I want you guys to know about Nithya Raman, and I want to be proactive. I don't want to interrupt you, David. Go ahead.
No, and what I'm saying...
You have two women here. Out of luck.
What I'm saying is that, what Jeffrey was saying is on Chandler Boulevard between Laurel Canyon and Koufax, there was a body laying on in the medium there. So I get up in the morning and I drive by and I see him there. Well, he must be asleep. I go by the next morning. He has not moved. I go by the next morning and he hasn't moved. And it's like, I need to stop thinking about this and I can't just ignore it. So I pulled over. I called 911 and going through in English, in Spanish, we'll put you on hold, we'll do all of this. And then finally, they direct me to the fire department. And fortunately, it's right there at Tahunga and Chandler, a couple of blocks away. So I wait there. And so they come and they start talking to him. He's alive, refuses help.
This is the issue.
And they eventually leave. And the next morning, he's right there. He was there this morning. He hasn't moved. And so, but whether it's being selfish or not, I stopped because I wanted to make a statement to myself that I'm not gonna do nothing. It may not do any good.
We're at critical mass right now. Yeah. We are at critical mass, and that's how I felt when I did what I did, because mm-hmm. I was like, if we as human beings cannot find the time to be outraged that another human life is dead on the sidewalk or is living in squalor or shooting up in front of everybody.
But here's the thing. You know, this is what I ran about when I ran for office. They're like, you know what? I'm tired of caring. I'm tired of paying. I pay a lot of money to pay for this homeless problem. They're not doing anything about it. And I think people have gotten to the point where they're angry with their money being spent on this and nothing's being done and fixed about it. So now you've got another problem. It's gone on for so long that people just don't want to care anymore. They're going to let them die in the streets. We don't care. And unfortunately, that's not how I feel mm-hmm. because I don't think it's right because they're human beings. I had a human being that was my mother that was one of those people. And I don't think it's right. And it's unfortunate that people have come to that calloused way of being that they don't care. And I think people also feel their backs up against a wall. What more can we do?
Well, I mean,
you're doing a lot. You're putting it on the news and you're getting those names out there.
And you'll pay a price.
Fair. I will pay. I'm already. I read the next door comments. There are a lot of good and there are some I'm going to pay the price for. But here's the deal. I really don't care. It's a human being's life. And I love it when people, you know, they're like, oh, that's that crazy MAGA girl that tried to kill everybody during COVID. And what does she know about homeless? Well, let me tell you, I don't just do something like that unless it's coming from my heart. And we, the business owners, truly care. We have, like I said, we sent information in it. There's another woman that sits there, Maria, and she only speaks Spanish, and she has two grocery carts, and she has definitely the art of how to put as many things in a cart that I've ever seen and move it. And she's kind. And she's sweet. There's never an issue with her. She sits at the same spot, usually in the spot where this woman passed away. She was moved over 3 feet that night. Her and another homeless gentleman, Huey, was there with this woman at the during the night. It was freezing cold. She was saying she was cold. She didn't have anything on. And Huey, the other homeless guy, said, I had 4 socks on. I was cold. So I tried to offer her one of the sheets I had. I said, we should call for help. She said, no, I don't want to. And she died. I don't know what. I'm not a coroner. I would guess it's either overdose or hypothermia from the cold and the rain.
Or both.
But, you know, we went to Nithya's office. We sent emails. We sent letters. I met her personally. And talked to her and said, look, you have to move tents. Well, I don't believe in moving tents because that's moving the problem and that's a lot of money. Okay.
It's a lot of money. They got paid at $1.1 billion or something dollars. What do you mean? It's a lot of money. You already paid for it.
Right. And she tried to act as if because I felt they shouldn't be on the street. I didn't care about homeless. I was just – us business owners were just worried about our business.
And you are worried about both.
I'm worried – yeah. We have both
to
worry about.
You're paying taxes to be
there. We have both to worry about. But it is not humane. There is nothing humane in an agenda that says – you are out of your mind. You are mentally incapable of doing anything, but you can decide if you're going to stay on the street and die in squalor. And here's a clean needle. Have at it. Right?
Yep.
Like, that's insane. That is insanity that we're actually living in. That's mm-hmm. not normal, you know? But anyway, so we have 2 minutes. I'll just run down. We went to Nithya Raman's office. She sent out a counselor to mm-hmm. Maria. That was in August. Maria is still sitting there because Maria keeps refusing and she can't do anything. We had a meeting with LAPD. LAPD, I said, if you guys remove the 6 RVs, the drug dealer will be gone and that mm-hmm. will help a lot. Angela, city council just said that the police officers were not allowed to do anything to the RVs because we might frighten the unhoused tenants in them. So you're going to have to talk
you
to
might
city council.
In oh, come
yes.
on.
So you have to go to transportation and cleanup and ask them to write them a citation about their tents and their RVs.
And the citations don't mean anything. They can have 3 million of them.
Like they care?
And
like they're going to show up?
Either. And they're not paying them either. Yeah. The whole thing is just, I mean, I can't say it on air, but I'd like to. Yeah. The whole thing is a something show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and you know what? And that's what people have. Maybe it has to get even worse in order for people to show up at the polls, regardless of party, because she was elected. Yeah. And I think she beat out, who was that, David Rue, that was the council member before that?
I think so.
So we'll be right back. And you know, Angela, stay with us. We're going to bring in our friend Karen Kenny, who is unfortunately going to be talking about it, some other tragic news. But we have to talk about it.
We'll
be right back.
Life's not a bowl of cherries all the time.
Nope.
And we're back, and we have our guest, Karen Kennedy, with a PhD in, let's see, mental challenges and suicide. That's a
fun topic, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well,
okay,
those of you
who are on date night.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, this is Karen Kenny, and she is a PhD, and I heard her share some of her experiences in her practice in a general way.
Confidentiality does apply, and I like my license.
Yeah, keeping it. And it was like, you know, it's a hard subject, but we have to hear about it because there is a direct correlation of what's happening to young people, to everybody, emotionally, spiritually, over what has been taking place the past couple of years by a politically induced crisis. So, yes. Karen, welcome.
Just as a way of elaboration a little bit, I have over 30 years now of work in trauma and grief. I have never, ever seen it this bad. I thought the earthquake would bring up and shake people because they lost homes and schools and businesses and access routes. The freeways collapsed like Hershey bars. I thought that was disruptive to our social here in the Valley. I'm speaking primarily of the Valley and the Los Angeles area. What I've seen since the lockdown, since really March 2020, is a disorientation, particularly in families, particularly as I've heard Jeffy say many times about your mom's situation and mental health. You know about mental health.
Well, apparently my twin sister committed suicide, but I have debate about that. But yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, having experienced both those losses and 6 weeks apart, you look at that, and so you know grief, and it hits you. So I can only imagine how you have had to counsel so many people just in this last 2 years, 2.5 years.
What's also interesting is like your other guest here who risked business closing. Mm-hmm. I was one of the few therapists that I knew, and I've been doing this for a while, that actually kept the office open because the powers that be said, oh, you are an essential worker. Well, thank you, comrade, for giving me permission to keep my practice open and see people people needed that. They needed to be able to come in, not just see folks through screens. When I was trying to prepare for what I might say that isn't going to either shock or you know, numb out people, there's a couple things that I really think are essential about the impact of lockdowns, the impact of the restrictions, the impact of the financial stress. Stress, we pass stress. Stress is in the rearview mirror. We're talking chaos. Yeah. We're talking people in my own practice deciding whether they can get the medicines, and that's if you can get it. I had to wait 3 weeks for my own thyroid medication because Costco ran out. They couldn't get it in, and people with God, go make a run on children's Tylenol because that's going to be not coming for a while. So people are choosing between medicine, gasoline, food. Everything's going to rent right now because the rents have gone up. So we've got a housing crisis that is not visible. This is middle class here in the Valley and in the Los Angeles area. My practice goes from the South Los Angeles all the way. I have someone coming up from Long Beach because of a really kind referral. But the fact is, I just want to kind of outline a couple of things. One is there's an invisible chaos and an invisible kind of disintegration that's happening around the structures of economics for family, kitchen table issues, as they say, social issues. Who am I now? These are identity issues.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, who am I now that this has happened? Who am I now that I lost my job? Who am I now that I can't afford? Who am I now that I have to take in a renter? Who am I now that I couldn't go and see grandma because of COVID regulations? And I see this primarily coming now in my practice. And children and teens are not my specialty. I work with soldiers, first responders, a lot of folks who've gone through childhood trauma that come in as adults. But what I'm seeing now is developmental tasks around identity. Who am I? And autonomy, meaning who's the boss of me? Who is the authority? Is it that person I don't know that sends me stuff called the utility company? Is it my neighbor? Is it the person who wears the uniform, the police, the doctors? Is it my parents? Kids today that I work, I have now five adolescents in my practice right now who are dealing with the confusion related to gender identity issues. If I don't know who I am, how am I going to figure out who you are if you want to be a boy on Tuesday and a girl on Thursday? Also, if I'm supposed to figure out who I am, then I have to know how to think better and clearly. They don't teach critical thinking.
Mm-mm.
They
no.
teach follow your emotions. Well, that's great. How far of a cliff are you going to go over if you just follow your emotions? I have adolescents. Cutting is back. That was a thing for a while, and it's coming back. It's resurging because kids today really have stressors that they don't know how to cope with because coping
well, you know,
skills
it's,
aren't working.
I just want to share. So I have a guy that I bring in who I love to death. He cleans my apartment. Yes, I live in an apartment because I own a business in L.A. and cannot afford a home. anyway, my rent-controlled apartment, I bring in somebody to clean it once a month. And to me, he was like my therapist during those times because, quite honestly, my therapist wouldn't see somebody in person. And I was going for PTSD. I was doing a lot of EDMR therapy. And mm-hmm. you can't – it's not the same. It is not the same.
No, it's not.
And through all that I was going through, he said, you know, he never said much. He would always be like my little Tony Robbins. I was like, God, you're so wise. You're so smart. And I was like, he'd leave and I'd be like, he's right, you know. And one day he opened up and he said, you know, nobody talks about, you know, how hard it is on the families. And he said, I have a son. He basically had his son with his wife. They're not together. His wife lived mm-hmm. with her parents. Her parents and her son were in the same house during COVID, and they were so afraid of her parents getting COVID that they made him use a toilet outside and stay in the room. And he said, I had no idea the depression that my son was going through. And then I got a call, and then I ended up in the emergency room, and my son tried to kill himself, and he almost didn't make it. And the emergency room doctor said, you're very lucky. We have so many of teens coming in like this, and most of them don't make it. And he said, Angela, nobody has talked about that. Nobody's talked about how that affects us and mm-hmm. how we have the money for the hospital bills. And I'm so grateful my son's alive, but now how do I get him out of this situation because we don't have any money? And it was the only time he shared, and it just brought tears to my eyes because I'm like, and he goes to, you know, the richer neighborhoods to clean for everybody. And those kids are on iPads and they have, you know, plenty of space to roam around the house. And they didn't have that because they didn't have money. And I have
families in my caseload that have had to downsize because one or both of the parents have lost their jobs, or some have refused to take the vaccine and then they lost their jobs mm-hmm. that way. And so they've either had to move in with other family members or downsize and go from a – I have a family who really needs a three-bedroom, two-bath home living in a one-bedroom apartment with bunk beds. So you've got this kind of claustrophobic sense of isolation and insulation going in walls that people don't see. These are invisible. People go walk out. You could see these folks at Ralph's, and they look regular. And you walk up to them, and you say, how are you? I do this. Sometimes I just do this just because I'm a little, you know, twitchy that way. I like to walk up to people and see kind of a man on the street, woman on the street, and I'll say, hi, how are you? Some people will not look at me. I had one woman practically, she grabbed her purse. I guess she thought I was going to engage her the way some of the street people. The way some of the street people do. Hey, got a moment? And they get closer to you. And the next thing you know, you feel lighter.
What's interesting is I grew up with hobbies. I mean, I grew up at a time when I had hobbies and I did that. And one of the things I see today with kids, because I'm a manicure, so I've got clients whose kids were just born or now, you know, having their own children. And one of the things I see is that these kids don't have hobbies. Parents don't sit down and play cards with them. They don't play board games with them. They don't, I mean, the game of life was a great thing for critical thinking. Parents don't teach that. They don't play with them anymore. They don't do those things. And it's not because parents don't want to. I think parents don't have the time.
I think people are on survival mode. And when you're on survival mode, as I use a kind of, I'm illustrating a kind of a teeter-totter, you're somewhere between who gets hurt and who needs to leave when you're on survival mode. And so you're trying to, let's put things together. We have enough food today. You got it. Are your clothes clean? Did you do your homework? Or you did part of it over. You forgot to turn it in. There's so much monitoring now that the parents are doing that they've, I see parents that are exhausted, and they're struggling with such things as, I have to call my only daughter. She wants to be called they. And and how do you – where does a parent address that if they're – and what's happening now, the kids are being taught, it's disrespectful if you don't get the pronoun. And the parents are going, but – it's my daughter.
I don't want to divulge much because I have a friend in a very bad situation, and CHP has taken his son away, and he's getting ready to go into children's court. And his son has had some, prior to COVID anyway, some mental, you know, issues. His son has gender identity crisis of who he is, who he isn't. And so they've been doing all these reports, and he's, you know, fighting to get his son back, and they don't want to give him back because he believes it's a dysphoria, and they're believing, you know, it's based child abuse, right? And the attorney said that his son is saying he's a she and using a cartoon name from one of the Japanese cartoon things.
The anime characters.
I forget the name of the character, and that when they're in court, they have to address him by that. And he's so upset. He's like, I am not going to address my son by a fantasy name or you know what I mean? Like, he's like, well, then when I go in there, I want to identify as a caring and loving father. And that's how I want the judge to reference me. Not Joe Monica, not Joe, but... You know,
right?
Yeah. So he's like, my pronoun is caring and loving father. So if I have to address my son as a Japanese cartoon person, like, this is how far it's gone. Like, I mean, he's fighting for his life. You know, it's not a funny matter in his life. He's devastated. He's financially tapped. It's a really big deal what he's going through. But I couldn't believe it when I heard it. Like, in a court of law. You have to use their pronouns. Well, it's not really, I guess children's court's different, but he has to use the correct.
Yeah, in California, children over the age of 12 have different rights, almost adult-like rights. For example, if I have kids who say, you know, I'm on drugs, I am not, if they're over 12, I am not required to tell the parent. If they say, yes, I want to be on birth control, I'm not required to tell the parent. If they say, so I've got an abortion, I'm not required to tell the parent.
I say, you said a keyword, I'm not required to.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I can violate their legal confidentiality.
So that was my
12.
Next question. When you say, mm-hmm, I'm not required to, mm-hmm, where's the gray area in the HIPAA that you, they're 12, they're 13, and you can or can't disclose? I mean, what can you disclose to a parent at that point? They're suicidal? I mean, where's the great...
Harm to self or others comes to mind.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've had kids that tell me they have had marijuana, the vape pens, and all the other things that they can use now, and had sex in different areas on campus, and used drugs, and have sold drugs, and I cannot tell the parents if the child is over age 12. But that's a legal thing that is... That's a legal element of my work that is not...
Is that only in California?
Ah, God bless the Golden State. I don't know. I can only say my license is in this state. Mm. But the fact is, what we're addressing now is an erosion of parental rights. And so children, mm-hmm, are getting confused. Remember, one of the developmental tasks of an adolescent is, who's the boss of me and who am I? And if my parents don't have real authority over me...
Who does?
And the principal isn't going home with me, so she has no idea what I do there, back and forth from school and home. And the parents and the friends, the adult friends, don't like the mother of a friend or the father of a friend or a coach. So what I am seeing now is I'm trying to teach some of the kids I work with, you can develop personal authority. What you think, what you feel, what you speak, what you do lines up. And then you have to do accountability. You have to own it. You have to own what you think, own what you say, own what you do, rather than just toss it out there and say, oh, I have no consequences on this. But I'm working that way, personal authority first. However, I'm also having to address them. I was in a family session the other day with two parents and a teen. And I said, you have absolutely personal authority because physically you're too big. Parents can't control your body, mm-hmm, and what you do with it. But they have a legal responsibility in this state until you're 18. And that you have to honor. Not
so,
only because
so the parents have a legal responsibility, but mm-hmm, but until 18, but before that, and then after the age of what, 12 or 14,
12.
They do not have the authority.
This is what he what happened in one of his cases is when they first
Friend X
when they first took Friend X's son, him and three of the minors jumped out of the van that was taken to them court and ran away and was missing for 4 days. Called the police, called the sheriff. Mm. They wouldn't do anything about it. Nobody would do anything about it. And CHP said, well, we don't have the right to stop them from leaving. They're not a prisoner. So if they wanted to leave, we wouldn't have been able to stop them anyway. They never even chased them and tried to. And he's like, so you took him from me because you think I don't have a qualified home. And then you lost him. And he's been missing for 4 days. And nobody called me. Nobody's helping me find him. And then I find out that he can just walk out of your facility anytime he wants because you can't hold him. And he's a minor. And then he keeps saying, so then how am I responsible financially for anything that he does? How?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like, I've never heard of it. I mean, well, that this is a whole nother level of crazy.
One of the words you could go all day long and twice on Sunday and never hear is the word accountability, yep, followed up by consequences. In today's very digital, very virtual world, to kids, there are no consequences. I can just rewind it and take, yeah, care of it, and it's gone.
Reboot.
Or I can delete it.
Yeah.
And it never,
yeah,
happened.
And I get more points if they're pushing a shopping cart in, mm-hmm, one of these video games, and I can take out the cart and the person. There's that deep. And for some reason, I know it's financial, like the video game companies don't want to take any responsibility for desensitizing young people to violence. And yet they're shocked when a kid shows up at school with a gun, as if like that would never happen in
virtual
world.
Heard anything more about the 6-year-old that shot the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
She's smiling over there because you know that that's not, I mean, not smiling in a good way, but we've never heard anything more about that case.
Well, I think it's lost its usefulness.
Mm-hmm. Because we become desensitized to it, and what are we going to talk about? And they become, nobody, it just seems like nobody cares that a six-year-old shot a teacher.
Well, how I make sense of it, and in the interest of full disclosure, I've had four clients in the last year and a half kill themselves. Two of them were teenagers.
Really sorry to hear that.
And the thing that keeps coming up is this desensitization to the physical limits and reality of being a human being and having physical space and physical actions and what I do matters kind of thing. And then the real disengagement and confusion about fantasy versus reality. I have had to tell kids directly, I'm going to give you the secret to living to adulthood and having a better life. And they kind of look at me like, okay, because they want the answers. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to figure it out. They don't want to deal with it. They want the answers. And I say, true, real, and clear. Is what you're saying true? If it's not, it's a lie. Is it real or is it a fantasy and a dream? And if it's not clear, then you're intentionally being fuzzy and foggy about it, and you're trying to obfuscate because it's go look over there while I deal with squirrel and shiny object over here. And I've tried to, and I talk to kids very directly, and I use this kind of, I call it my teacher voice, very clearly, because I am sick and tired of getting calls that say, I can't find, I'll go Jack, or I can't find Jill, or Jill's pregnant, and Jill is 12. Oh, and guess what? I have a son who is, it's a lot of this is male to female transitional gender stuff. There's a term for it in psychology. It's called autogynephilia. It's where the inner woman needs to come out of a guy.
Do you have any ideas to, I mean, we all have our theories, but I would love to hear, why is it more prevalent now? Is it because we are fostering it? Why does it seem to be a bigger issue for this generation than any other issue?
I think there are a number of communication, technological, and dissociative, by the way, dissociative identity disorder, multiple personalities. I work with those for 9 years. So I've seen what happens when your sense of self starts eroding. And what I have seen clearly is the absence of critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Cause and effect, 1 + 1 = 2. It's not a cherry and a banana equals a car. I don't care how much of, you know, common whatever
Mickey
it is.
Mouse,
common
Mickey Mouse
core.
Math. I call it Mickey Mouse math.
Well, one of them thing is logical, critical thinking. Cause and effect. 2, I've told my parents, please, 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 check the phones at the door. When the kid comes home after 8 p.m., I don't care if you have to lock it up, because they get on sites that are really distressing. If you
are they allowed
to
do that after 12? If they're over 12, are they allowed to take their phones?
Yes. If you live in my house and I'm paying the bill, excuse me, yes.
Well, I was just wondering because the parents don't have any other rights. I'm like, do they still have that right?
The rights over 12 are really about drug use, sex, birth control, abortion, that kind of thing.
That just amazes me. So if they're over 12 and they want to bring their boyfriend or girlfriend and sneak them in the window, you can't do anything about it?
Oh, yes, you can. Because now they brought them into your home.
See, I think parents are confused, and I'm asking that question because I have clients. I'm a manicurist. I have clients, and they're confused.
You could write
a
psychology book if you're a manicurist.
Oh,
you
have no idea.
I have a little.
You have no idea.
But what I'm finding out is, to answer your question, and since the mind thinks in threes, I'll give you 3 points. One is the dissociation between critical thinking and cause and effect. 2 is the blurring of reality and fantasy. And 3 is the dehumanization of being a person. I never thought I would live long enough to have, like today, a man in my treatment room saying, I think I have identity issues. And I said, okay, tell me who you are. And he said, I don't know. I thought minimally he would be able to say his first name or maybe that some kind of that attribution that he happened to be gay and that he could say, I'm gay. And I said to you, well, first of all, let me clarify something for you. You are an adult human male. That makes you a man. It's an absolute truth. You are an adult human male. You are a man. And I never saw the look of relief come over his face. It was like I had suddenly opened the ceiling, Angel Gabriel come down and told him an absolute truth, because he is over the age of 21, and he is a male, and he is an adult. That makes him a man. Now I said, now the character that you have, the actions that you give to yourself and to other people, the consequences, those are part of you being the person who happens to be, I'll use Jack and Jill as names, who happens to be Jack, a man who happens to be gay, and you get to decide how you behave. And it goes to that plaque I have in my office. Thoughts become words, words become actions, actions become character, and character is everything. People have lost a moral compass, and we're seeing it. We're seeing it as people just expect to be disenfranchised, dehumanized, isolated, dissociated. And then what are we seeing? Oh, what I'm also seeing in my practice. Better life through chemistry is what I call it. What is your drug of choice? How much of it? How often? Do you know that between the ages of 12 and 22, if you smoke marijuana 3 times a week, it will change the brain structure, not the content, the brain structure. So that if you were supposed to have an IQ, 100 is the average. If you were supposed to have 115 IQ, you'll never reach it.
Wow. People, and I'm telling you, parents are like, oh, it's just weed. And I'm like, I don't get it.
Well, those are the baby boomers that used to smoke with Timothy Leary and all of that. That's not the same pot today that it is back then.
I mean, I grew up in a house with my mom doing drugs and all those. I mean, I could tell you stories. But, I mean, my mom never said, okay, here, you want a joint? It didn't happen. I never smoked pot either. It was never something I never did it. But I see these kids today, and they're stoned all day long. They're stoned all day long. Like, what do you do?
I walk across the street to get coffee at a donut shop with the therapy dog that I have. And I was there this morning, and there were 3 teenagers vaping in front of the donut shop, and one of them was already so high he was falling off of the half wall that they were sitting on.
Wow.
And he was slurring. And I think if I was going to cut him in half and count the rings, he probably would have been about 14.
It's so weird to me. I grew up on a farm in Indiana. My parents.
Don't you wish you had stayed there?
Yes. I was eating organic food, and I thought it was just we were poor and had to grow our own food. Like, and now I think that's why I have all these allergies, you know?
No, it's a thing.
I'm allergic to gluten and this and that. I'm like, it's because you fed me organic my whole life. No, but, I had my you know, everybody has their childhood things, you know? Mm-hmm. And luckily, my parents smoked, and I hated it, so I refused to smoke. But I had a schizophrenic aunt and uncle, and I had this huge fear that if I ever tried a drug, it would trigger something that was genetic that I had, that they have, and I would become schizophrenic. So I never went down.
I hate to break it to you, but you're too old. Between 17 and about 25 is when that starts to appear,
right.
And if you miss that, you're pretty much going to
I did miss it
in.
Because of that fear. Mm-hmm. I didn't try anything like that. Like, I was like, no.
So, you know what? Before we end up, real quick, we may bring you back for just a second afterwards, because I think this is a question that everyone's asking. What can parents do? So we're going to go to this commercial break. It's going to be a couple-minute commercial break. I'd love for you to answer that question. We'll give you 5 minutes, and then we've got to bring our legal eagle on. But we are going to bring you back, because people I know are going to be blowing up our phones and our Facebook wanting to know. So we'll be right back with Dr. Kennedy and David, Angela, and myself. And this is the Nail Cafe. What am I saying?
The Nail Cafe.
This is AM 870.
We'll be right back.
Los Angeles is better.
Don't go away.
They need it really bad.
Three
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.